So as I've read through with the input from people who came from the South and said, no, you have to, there are people that actually believe in the Bible within that denomination. And of course, there are other people that don't believe in the Bible that don't like them within that denomination. But to be fair, that's true in a lot of different places. Here you have religious leaders, some of whom want to kill the Son of God because he was violating the Sabbath. In their mind. Because he talked about old wineskins and new wine. And you have another group whose hearts were softened. I keep thinking of Nicodemus, though he was a little bit chicken, and he did come at night, he came to Jesus. And we were blessed with one of the most important speeches that Jesus ever made, given to a chicken religious leader who wasn't bold enough to stand up in the daylight then, but he did later. New wine and old wineskins. New in quality is what's needed. Something where we're flexible enough that God can do what he wants to do. Does that mean that you have to just be ready for a free-for-all? That's the kind of church I grew up in, Pentecostal church. I used to hear this all the time. People say, well, you know what? The Spirit was so blessed by God, the pastor didn't even preach. It was just a free-for-all the whole time. And I knew what they were trying to say, but you know what? You had a whole church full of immature people who were reacting with their emotions. We never studied the Bible. We didn't think we needed to. And I thought, so how can it be a good thing that we come and we play with our toys for an hour and then we don't want to hear what God has to say? How can that be good? It's fun, but how can it be good? So I would call that a system that prides itself on being a new wineskin. And yet it was very, very inflexible. Just like people in our culture who pride themselves on being tolerant, buzzword. I live in a town filled with people like this. They are so tolerant that any form of sexual deviation is welcome and supported. Any deity of any origin is accepted until you talk about Jesus. You talk about Jesus, these are the most intolerant people you will ever meet. And yet they pride themselves on being tolerant. So within the legalistic system that Jesus was dealing with, he said, you're gonna bust. Your system is going to break if God brings to it what he wants to bring to it. Did that stop him? Well, no, it didn't. He just braced himself. One other little thing about old wineskins, the same guy that thought our music was boring and monotonous, and that's okay. He wanted us to do country western music, and I don't do country western music, so if it had been up to me, I couldn't have done it anyway. We'd had to get a different worship leader. But the same guy said, I have not seen anyone get saved in 5 years. That would have bothered me if I hadn't baptized 30 people that year. He was in Florida half the time, so he didn't really get to see it. But as we talked, and I wanted to hear his input, you know what he said? He said, I haven't seen anybody get saved. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you know, the organ, the altar call, the people come forward, the public down on your knees in the front. And to him, that's people getting saved because that's what he was used to. I said, I'll tell you the people that have given their lives to Jesus. And some of them did it in parking lots, and some of them did it in the building after everybody left. And I don't give altar calls unless God tells me to. But it doesn't mean no one's given their life to Jesus. Interesting conversation about this. Most of those people that he didn't think were saved because they didn't do it his way are still walking with Jesus 5 or 6 years later. Must have taken, even without the Hammond organ. Well, And there's so many places to go, and I won't have time to talk about the rest of this today. Are we in danger of being old wineskins or creating old wineskins in our system? Absolutely. I asked Chuck this one time at lunch at a pastor's conference. I says, are we in danger of just being like all the dead denominations we hate? And he said, sure. Our flesh is no different than anybody else's flesh. That's just the flesh. That's what the flesh does when it doesn't, when the spirit's not leading anymore. And I was shocked, and I thought, well, but this is special. And he says, no, you know what's special is what God does. If we stop letting God do it, if we stop opening our hearts to what he wants to do, and if that means we don't do things the way we like, we'll still do it his way. If we don't do it that way, we'll get just as hard and rigid and dead as any old wineskin, and God will have to go somewhere else to do what he wants to do. And I found that chilling, but it's true. So, preaching to the choir probably, because you're here because you're flexible, so. But it's sure worth considering, isn't it? Because if things are happening the way we like it and the way we feel comfortable, it's so easy to think this is the way God does it and he doesn't do it any other way. And man, I just do not want to fall into that trap. I don't want the Holy Spirit to have to say, sorry, son, really like to do stuff here, but you guys aren't leaving me any room, you know. Sorry, have a good time. I'm going to go over here. These people want to do things my way. And of course, that requires being recalibrated sometimes, doesn't it? And we don't like that. We just pretty much don't like change, do we? You know, the thing that I love about New England the most, besides the scenery, I love it, is their history and the tradition. I live in a 230-year-old house, which I'm restoring as best I can to look like it's 230 years ago. That thing of loving tradition is also our Achilles heel, because there are people who will cling to tradition at the expense of reality. The real living God who wants to know people, who wants to do stuff, and that is a human failing. And that's why Jesus made the comment. Would it have been possible for these Jewish people to have a system that was like a new wineskin, so that when God poured new wine into it, it wouldn't break? Would that have been possible? Read the book of Acts. That's exactly what happened. Did it change the whole system? No, the whole system didn't want to change. It drove a wedge right down the middle. It always will, as it's doing in certain denominations today. I really, absolutely, my cheers and kudos and my heart and my prayers go out to the people who are trying to stand by the faithfulness of Scripture and God being involved in running his church in the face of people who don't think that any of that matters. It's a hard road to walk. Let's look at the Sabbath thing. Let's look at the, first of all, walking through the grain fields, picking heads of grain. That's not exfoliating misdemeanor. It was allowed in, I wrote down in Deuteronomy 23, it was lawful within arm's reach of a path that went through a grain field, if you were famished, if you were hungry, to reach out and grab it. So the issue was not that it was unlawful for them to be picking somebody else's grain. Within the law, in that country, that was legal. It was what bugged the Pharisees is that they were doing it on the Sabbath. I may not get through this today. This is worth looking at. If I didn't offend you on the last one, and I might offend somebody on this one, I just ask you to consider Jesus' words. I think one of the most important disregarded verses in all of Jesus' saying is in this passage, verse 27, where he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You'd think it was the opposite of that, wouldn't you? Well, you would if you grew up in legalism like I did. The irony is our church and most Christian churches don't think of Saturday as the Sabbath, which it is. They think of Sunday as the Sabbath. And so they'll take Old Testament law that God gave to Israel about that day, which he specifically names, and they apply all of those laws to Sunday, which logically doesn't even make sense. We even had laws in this state that you would call, they called them blue laws. Certain businesses were not allowed to operate on Sunday. You were not allowed to do certain things by law on Sunday. Did that make people love God? Did that make people remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? No, it just irritated the heck out of them, didn't it? It just made people mad. It made them see God as being unreasonable. Jesus, I think, sets a precedent in here that's worth looking at. But the first example that he uses, you scratch your head and you think, when he talks about David there in 1 Samuel 21, you think, what does that have to do with the Sabbath? But once again, they were missing the major point of what Sabbath was. Let's see if I can get through this. I've got all kinds of sticky notes and everything on my notes here, and see if I can navigate my way through this so that it will be clear. There are other places where Jesus taught on the Sabbath. And I'm not going to try to attempt to cover all of that. I love this example that he uses because it's from Scripture. When he says, have you never read? Well, of course they had. They were professionals. The problem is they just did not see, they didn't grasp the essential meaning of either their history or God's original intent for the Sabbath. It's funny, but people do that on maybe on different subjects today. When I was growing up, on Sunday, we were only allowed to wear certain kinds of clothes because it was a holy day. And in my kid brain, the first question I asked was, what does God do the rest of the week? Does he cover his eyes? Will he not look at me because I'm not wearing my Sunday clothes? That's a really good question, I think, for a kid. It shows that you're thinking. It just made people mad. I remember my mom, and she doesn't think this way anymore, but her saying, but honey, don't you want to look nice for God? Like God and I are going out on a date. And of course, you know, you got on a date and you want this person to marry you, so you wear clothes you don't normally wear, you know, you use deodorant, you brush all your teeth, you know, you act in a completely different way so that this person will marry you. So this is what I was doing when I went to church in my mom's eyes, and I thought, that's just another place I spend with my time with God. Why should I look any different on that day than I do on any other day if he has my heart? Well, because you're making the day holy. What does that mean? Holy means set apart for God. It means his exclusive property, attention given to him. The original intent of Sabbath for Israel, I personally don't think, based on the New Testament, that we are under that same law as Christians, but I still take a Sabbath. And I'll tell you why in a minute, because I think it was a good idea. But the original idea, God was saying, you dummies will work yourselves to death unless I tell you to take a day off. So he carefully outlined parameters and he says, don't work. But if we don't work, what's going to happen? Well, you'll just have to trust me, okay? The one that got you here, trust me, take a day and don't work. Rest and be with me. In a nutshell, that's Shabbat, the way the Israelis say it. Shabbat is rest and be with God. Can you do that on a Sunday? You can. I can't. Sunday is not a day of rest for me. I work. So I take Thursday. And Thursday is my day, and I turn off my cell phone, and I don't do anything that looks like work, and I get up in the morning, and I spend a longer time in my devotions, and I approach the day this way. What do you want to do today? And I expect him to answer me, because that day is set apart for me and him. Now, the way Shabbat was in the church I grew up in was the church was filled with programs that totally wore you out so that it was the worst day of the week. It was the day that you were the most frazzled and worn out. It was exactly the opposite of rest. Not only that, there were all the burdens. Sunday morning service, you had to wear a white shirt and a tie. Sunday night service, you could wear colored shirts and a tie, and the church split over that. Sunday morning, you have to sing hymns. Sunday night, you can throw in a few worship choruses. You know what? I love hymns. And I love worship choruses. But worship's about Jesus. I love him. It's about drawing close to him, in a nutshell. And if I want to argue over what I wear and what I'm doing, and Jesus is in the back going, hey, what about me? Isn't this my day? So whatever it is that you do, spend the day with him and rest. And I'm a Nazi about that. I don't need to know what it looks like. I truly do. That's not my business. That's between you and the Lord. I'll tell you what will happen. Your doctor will tell you what will happen. If you do not take at least one day and rest and refresh yourselves physically and spiritually, it'll kill you. Okay, is that clear enough? Do you feel guilty if you take a whole day and all you do is spend it with Jesus and don't work? Listen to me carefully. Then you're sick. Something's out of whack. It's not God that's driving you. It's something else. So here's my suggestion. Jesus says here, Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath, you guys. I was there when we wrote the law. You're wrong, wrong, wrong about what it was for. It's not about all this junk you added on that makes it a burden. It was to set my people free. It's because I wanted to be with them without any distractions. So here's what I would suggest to you. This is why I do what I do. I said, Lord, what do you think I should do about this whole Sabbath thing? He said, well, my original idea was that you wouldn't work and you'd hang out with me. So what's that going to look like? He says, well, let's find out. But what's that going to look like for Cliff? And what's that going to look like for Mark? And what's that going to look like for Mike? He says, well, that's none of your business. That's between me and them. Can you do that? Well, then why do we worship on Sunday? Well, I can tell you all the historical reasons we do. I'm not sure any of them are really biblical, the way that it's filtered its way down to these days. It is the one day that most of us have off. It is the day that lends itself to doing that. I'll say this and we can put it on tape. I am personally against anything that comes between you and intimacy with the Lord, including church. I'm against it. If the only way that you could spend quiet time with Jesus and grow in him was to stay home with my blessing. If this isn't a place where your walk with Jesus is made stronger and you feel closer to him and you know him better when you leave, then don't come back, because I'm not doing you any favors. I wouldn't be here if that's what it was. So I'm against anything. And in one day a week, in Colossians, doesn't it say, don't let anybody judge you by how you keep Sabbaths and special days. Just be convinced in your own heart. I think that has to do with which day it is. Sunday works well for everybody except me and Wayne and some of the Sunday school teachers. But the point originally, and Jesus reiterates this in other places, was about rest. In fact, in Hebrews, it says that all of the Sabbath was regulations that God invented, not the ones humans invented, was to be a picture of the life that God wanted his people to have in Jesus. That's why Jesus said to the crowds, "Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you more stuff to do." Is that what he said? What did he say? "I will give you rest." If I'm not facilitating that, I'm working in opposition to him, aren't I? I know some of you were raised in churches that the Sunday was a day filled with activities. Was it restful in any way? Well, I would say most of our experience was that it wasn't. Oh, Bob, you're just not going to be able to cut out 2,000 years worth of tradition in one sermon. Well, Jesus couldn't do it either, could he? Did anybody historically paid attention to what he said, even in this one passage? I think we've still missed the point. We've made the place holy, we've made the time holy, but we have not set it apart for God. We don't rest. We don't enjoy his fellowship. We feel guilty if we do. One of the issues with Sabbath for Israel was, will you trust me that if you don't work, I'll still take care of you? Ooh. Mm. I would ask you, do you think you would survive financially if you take a day and you don't do anything except hang out with the Lord? Be honest.
"Oh, I just don't know how we'd be able to pull it together."
Then you don't trust your Heavenly Father, do you? If he asked you to do something and you refuse to do it because you think you won't get taken care of, who's your God? You know what I mean? This is what he said to me. I'm a pastor. I'm a professional. He said, "Bob, Sunday isn't cutting it. You hardly talk to me. You're worn. You're frazzled out. You fall into bed dead." And he says, "We need to find a day where you and I can hang out. Turn off your cell phone."
Oh, what'll happen? The world will fall apart.
And he said, "Look, I'll handle the world, okay? 24 hours. I think I can handle it. 24 hours. I'll take care of the whole rest of the world. You just hang out with me." Are you feeling guilty right now? You're not supposed to. This should be really good news. They missed it completely. I've got a lot out of that. Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. You've got it backwards. How much time do I have? Can I go five more minutes? Okay. Because Matthew, this is something God threw in my lap this morning. Woke me up at 5 o'clock. And I sat down with my Bible and I said, "Okay, am I missing anything?" And he said, "Well, there's this one thing." And he took me to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 7. There's one little thing Matthew says, and he interjects it right here in this part of this speech about Shabbat. To the critical people, who the professional studiers of Scripture, Jesus said, and by the way, Jesus was in trouble because he helped somebody on the Sabbath. 12:7. "If you had known what these words mean," and then he quotes a scripture from Hosea chapter 6, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, then you would not have condemned the innocent." Jesus heals a guy and he carries his cot that he'd been confined to, and they go, oh, carried a burden on the Sabbath. Disciples eating grain on the Sabbath. That's work. That's harvesting. You're not supposed to do that. And Jesus looks at the religious leaders of Israel and said, have you ever read what David did? Didn't you get that human need, even for a holy man, takes precedence over the ceremonial law? David did something that was forbidden to anybody but the priest, and yet he was innocent. By the way, in 1 Samuel 21, David was running for his life from Saul, rejected by Israel as their king, just like Jesus was. And he ran in desperation to feed his army. God says, that's fine. Jesus said to the guys, Matthew 12:7, if you just knew what these words mean, you should. Your leaders, if you knew what the words mean, you wouldn't condemn innocent people over a misunderstanding of the Sabbath. I looked up these words. I found a wonderful commentary, Greek commentary on the word eleos, which is translated mercy. God says, here's what I want. See all your hoop-de-doo, all of your religious routine, your sacrifices, your burnt offerings, all that stuff. Here's what I want. I desire eleos is the Greek word that Jesus used. I desire mercy and not just sacrifice. You can take people who are devoted to God and make them jump through all kinds of hoops. And some of them will do it. They'll take that burden and that yoke on themselves, but it won't be Jesus' burden and Jesus' yoke, because his is light and easy. But God says, this is what I want. And Jesus says to these men, this is what I want. I want, and the word eleos means an immediate and special concern for the misery which is caused by the effects of sin. Spiros zodiades. Great word, because God is saying, this is the way I think. I see sinners who are suffering because of it. I can't ignore that. My heart goes out to them. I love people. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't want to see them suffer. Of course, that caught my attention because we hated sinners in the church I grew up in. And we saw sinners suffering. It was their fault. So I'm right. Let them line up with the truth, buddy. And, you know, then we'll talk. God says, I don't think that way. Yeah, the whole world is suffering because of the effects of sin. That bugs me, he says. I care about that. John 3:16, he did something about it. So Jesus looks at these guys and he's saying, you are so not on the same page as your heavenly Father. You're plotting to kill me, he says, and you're damning innocent people because a need was met and it violated your conditions about what Sabbath is. He said, you missed the whole point of Sabbath. It's for you. We're going to see next week, and I'll talk about it a little bit more. The thing that tipped the scales was they were watching him the next Sabbath to see if he was going to do anything unreligious, and it says he waited until they were all watching, and he saw a guy who was sick, and he said, come here and stand in front of everybody. It's like, I dare you to hassle me over this one more time. And then he brought up the question, and we'll look at it next week, he brought up the question, what's lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil? And he had him stumped. Okay, please come back. And you know what? If you don't agree with this, then find scripture that really tells me that this is wrong, and I certainly will consider it. But I would say this. If you're feeling guilty about not taking a day off, I don't feel sorry for you. I had a heart attack when I was 35 years old. And when I went into the doctor, he said, you are way too healthy for this to be happening. This has got to be stress-related. And one of the first questions he asked me was, do you ever take a day off? And I said, no. No, I'm a Christian. People are going to hell. There's stuff to do. I've got to take care of my family, blah, 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 blah. Will you trust God to just take a day just with him? Oh, but I have a family. Oh, excellent family activity. Hang out with Jesus. We don't know how to do that. Good time to learn, because that's where the life is. Now, I noticed there's a bunch of people that aren't here. Sorry, it's pastor's habit. And some of them may be out and enjoying the holiday. That doesn't even bother me if they're spending it with Jesus. Same Jesus that's here. It's only when people shut him out to go rest that I worry, because they're not finding life. And that's what we need, isn't it? Let's pray. A lot of guilty looks on faces, and I know that's not what you had in mind, Lord. So I'll just pray that what we need to hear from our master, you would tell us how this fits into our lives. I personally think Sabbath is a great idea. It sure has saved my life. It's my favorite day of the week now that I get to hang out with you all day long. I have no other responsibilities except to be with you.